Right now, the internet is an equal opportunity broadcaster. From news sites to tiny blogs, from Netflix to sites that don't even exist yet. But the concept of net neutrality as it exists is under attack from those who would create a pay-to-play internet. And the attack is coming from the FCC chairman himself. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a vocal supporter of a free and open internet. That conversation starts now.
Hello, and thanks for listening. Right now, the internet operates as all sites are created equal, no caveats. Companies cannot pay more money to get quicker streaming speeds or quicker downloads and then crush competition. Chairman of the SEC, Ajit Pai, would like that practice to end. It's called net neutrality. At the moment, the internet is regulated under a federal code known as Title II, so it's regulated more like a utility. And is there anything more utilitarian than the internet? Think about it. You pay taxes on it. You could order groceries, and you can stream Sense8 on Netflix, at least for now. The Title II protection came from the prior FCC chairman, John Wheeler. Now, Mr. Wheeler was a lobbyist for Comcast before taking over the FCC under President Obama. The present FCC chairman, Mr. Pai, was once a top lawyer for internet provider Verizon. So comedian and HBO show host John Oliver once made the comparison of an internet provider's lawyer running the FCC as this.
That is the equivalent of needing a babysitter and hiring a dingo.
Thanks for stopping over.
A different breed of dingo. But net neutrality is not going down with ease. The FCC has received at least 5 million comments about this proposed change to how the internet operates. The FCC claims it was hacked, however, and that most of those comments are not legitimate. But the FCC has yet to prove that claim. I spoke with a representative of the Electronic Frontier Foundation about net neutrality, how to protect it, and just exactly what Go FCC Yourself means.
Cory Doctorow, I'm a special consultant to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and I wrote the novel Walkaway, a new science fiction novel for adults.
And we spoke about Walkaway last time you were here. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming in, because I wanted to talk EFF, because we've had them on the show before too, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as the ambassador, I'm moving forward with this. Well, let me back up. I've had some fun over the last few weeks trying to agitate Ajit Pai as much as possible. Mm-hmm. We talk about it on the show quite a lot. Net neutrality is under attack. What's your take on it? Let's just start there.
Well, it seems pretty obvious to me that the job of your internet service provider should be to figure out how to get you the packets you're asking for as quickly as possible. And that asking companies or allowing companies to decide to use the natural monopolies they get from being the only ones who can put wire on the poles or wire on the railway right-of-ways or wire in our city sewers, letting them decide which packets you're going to get based on who pays them the most is antithetical to delivering the internet.
Are they fixing something that isn't broken?
I mean, the argument is that if we don't give the carriers the power to essentially hold us to ransom in order to figure out how to earn ancillary revenues, that they won't invest in infrastructure. And the reality is that if you like read their investor calls, the transcripts of their investor calls, they say actually net neutrality provisions do nothing to stop us from investing. And really, if that were a problem, I think the right answer would be to say, look, guys, the right to like stick a wire in every basement in San Francisco and on every pole in San Francisco, if you were to go out and like buy those rights foot by foot, yard by yard, you would spend $1 trillion and still not have the whole city covered. So when you get that $1 trillion subsidy from us, the taxpayers, the deal is that you have to invest in infrastructure that delivers what the taxpayers want. And no one woke up this morning and said, I wish that the services that I reached were slowed down unless they paid a bribe to my ISP. And so we could say to them, look, you know, if this doesn't suit you, that's cool. Go Galt, build your own network, clear every yard of sidewalk. You got 60 days to get your copper out of our dirt, and we'll find someone else who will operate the network that people actually want using this public subsidy.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around why Ajit Pai, the FCC chair, has brought this back up. I realize he used to be a lawyer for Verizon. I totally dig that. I realize he's a free market person. I dig that too. But the former FCC chair was general counsel for Comcast.
Yeah.
And he put him in place. So the FCC regulations that are through there. So if we look at the internet as the central nervous system of the 21st century. I think I'm using your phrase.
Yeah.
From the last time you were here. And I've thought about that quite a lot since you said it, and I totally agree with it. But if we start to regulate it and take away net neutrality, aren't we kind of throttling innovation and opportunity?
Well, I mean, that's obviously the case, right? That the ability to pay bribes to a carrier is something that a lot of existing giants have, but that future giants lack, you know, by definition, right? If all it takes to start Google is, you know, some servers under a desk at Stanford and some good ideas about how to organize the web, if all it takes to start Facebook is total disregard for people's private lives, if all it takes to start Twitter is this idea about, like, turning SMSs into a messaging platform, then people can go off and start those companies and they can grow into businesses for better, for worse, and they do what they do and they return to the economy and they provide jobs. But if you need to do all of that stuff and then also pay a bribe to a carrier, the only companies that can do it are the companies that are already incumbents. And, you know, it's true that incumbents don't make the same kind of risky bets that new entrants make.
Right.
Because why would they, right? They've got something to lose. If you're fresh on the scene, you've got some investment capital, and you're making a bet that you can change the world, then you will spend money in ways that is fundamentally different to how you spend money if your bet is that the world is never going to change, that you can just continue to maintain your place. And everywhere that we see monopolism, we see lower growth. That's just a kind of truism. You don't have to be a radical Marxist to think that monopolists crush growth.
Yeah, you just have to look at the cable companies.
Yeah, or, you know, banks or record labels or publishing or pharmaceuticals or pharmacies or retail or, you know, aviation. They do have higher, you know, supernormal shareholder returns, but not the kind of economic growth that creates broadly shared prosperity, and that also creates jobs and provides a long-term trajectory for national economic success.
I think if we could understand the motivation, possibly we could short-circuit this rush to kill net neutrality. But I can't get behind Ajit Pai's eyes and figure it out other than straight money grab. I really can't see anything other, any other reason.
Well, it's not crazy to say, well, he's just an ideologue, you know, like the Ayn Rand is a hell of a drug. You know, he read one book, and the most dangerous thing in the world is to only read one book.
Mm-hmm.
And he just literally believes that if you remove regulation, you get competition, and then you get better outcomes. And the problem with that doctrine, one problem with that doctrine, is that it exempts from the universe of things that we call regulation all of the things that we're already doing. So it says, oh, well, we create a rule that says that they're allowed to dig up the streets and we give them rights of way down rail lines and all the rest of it.
Right.
That's not regulation. It's only when we tell them what to do afterwards that that's regulation.
Right.
And it's a special kind of, you know, self-serving BS. It's something that we're all prone to, right? That thing that I'm doing isn't the bad thing I'm railing against. It's only the slightly different version that you want that's the thing I'm railing against. It comes up a lot, right? It comes up when you see companies that make their living from grabbing bits of popular culture and making new kinds of media. And they say, when we do that, that is like legitimate borrowing that is in the service of artistic expression.
Right.
But when, like, you make fan fiction or fan films or when you share it with your friends or whatever, that's just piracy. And, you know, if you're like a Martian sitting watching the Earth through a telescope and you ask me to explain why it's piracy when someone takes Mickey Mouse and remixes them in a comic that's critical of Disney, but it's not piracy when Disney takes Grimm's Brothers fairy tales or Lewis Carroll, there's no obvious answer why one is like morally right and one is morally wrong. The law is kind of an incoherent mishmash. And, you know, if you want to be an honest broker, you would say, well, maybe one is legal and one isn't legal, but it's certainly not consistent to say one and the other. And like here we have this with net neutrality where we say, oh, well, like a phone company is nothing but a bundle of regulations, you know, in a hard shell of greed. But that's not really the regulation we're worried about. We're only worried about this other regulation. You know, it's not like so far off from like rules that prohibit people from getting together and deciding what they're going to demand from their employer. That's totally wrong. But employers getting together and deciding what kind of offers they're going to give to their employees, that's totally cool. And it might just be that you say, well, I just think that rich people are smarter than workers. And so I think that they should be allowed to collude, but their workers shouldn't. And that at least would be, you know, intellectually honest and morally consistent. But really what you mostly get is just self-serving BS that says, oh, no, that's not collusion.
Right.
This is collusion.
Right. Well, the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, is not alone in its opposition to AgitPi's stance on this, but it is a leader. It's a thought leader in this space.
Sure.
So what specifically is EFF doing right now to push back?
Well, EFF is part of a broad coalition that is getting people out into the streets about this. It's getting letters written. And I imagine that when there's legal challenges to be mounted, there'll be some of that as well. We're also involved in trying to figure out exactly what happened with the FCC and all of the fake comments and all of the
John Oliver.
Yeah. I mean, we have this case of, I think it's 500,000 identity thefts.
Yeah, right.
Where in alphabetical order, data from what may have been a voter registration breach was used to file identical comments that the FCC says, you know, out of an abundance of inclusiveness and not wanting to potentially discount comments from the public, they're going to include in. And at the same time, they're claiming that all those people who watched John Oliver and tried to go and tell them they thought net neutrality was important, that those people who missed out because their servers crashed weren't in any way prevented from participating in this regulatory proceeding because, after all, the site was brought down by a mysterious denial of service attack, no details of which can be given to the public. And I expect we're going to get involved in that in some way as well. It's the kind of place where we often play a role.
Yeah, no doubt. And back to the Go FCC yourself, I think it still is up. It's still redirecting to their proper page.
I think that's right.
But we still don't know if they're seeing anything that we type into it.
Well, and I think that Go FCC Yourself project is an interesting example of the lack of consistency in the FCC's line here. Because on the one hand, they say, oh, we had these 500,000 fake comments that are obviously fake that we're going to include in because we're so interested in hearing from the public. But the reason John Oliver had to set up Go FCC Yourself is that even finding the form to tell them what you think of,
yeah, it was buried.
It's really, really hard. So it's this like weird shortcut that goes through several layers of it. And that may be just the fact that, you know, overall government IT contracting is fraught with lots of problems that end up with bad stuff. But if indeed like their top priority, like if job one at the FCC is make sure it's easy to get comments in, then figuring out how to bypass that normal government boondoggle in IT sourcing would be a lot more tangible expression of it than including in 500,000 obviously fake comments.
And once you get to the comment page, you still have to double click. It's like you may hit OK and you think you've submitted, but you haven't. You have to go another step farther. It's a little shady. It's a little less than transparent. That's what we're all going for, is a little transparency.
When it's easier for a bot to participate in a rulemaking than it is for a human to participate in a rulemaking, it's hard to argue that rulemaking is being contoured to maximize participation from stakeholders.
Right. Well, I've been trying to raise Mr. Pi for a couple of weeks. I know he was on a sister show recently, so we have a way in. We're going to try to get him back in to talk.
Well, it'd be interesting to have him talk to people who work in your listenership, given how much tech there is around here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Corey, thanks a lot for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Corey Doctorow. He has a long list of internet bona fides, including co-creating Boing Boing and writing multiple books, most recently one called Walk Away. He also has other novels about our digital society. In this capacity, he was repping the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We reached out to FCC Chair Ajit Pai for comment and the opportunity for equal time, but he declined the invitation. It is an open invitation, however, so we hope to have him on eventually. And in the interest of transparency, I do not agree with Mr. Pai's proposal to make the internet a pay-to-play proposal. I believe it will stifle creativity and competition. Much like one cannot get an internet provider to compete with in-market de facto monopolies like Comcast and Time Warner, those companies have handshake, non-compete agreements and carve up the country's consumer base. I don't want my internet to favor one side over another, one site over another, just because a large company can push its revenue at a crappy show it wants us to see more than its competition. For more, you can go to our Facebook page at @TechonomicsRadio, or you can go the John Oliver route and click on GoFCCYourself.com and leave a comment for Mr. Pi. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.